This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Welcome to a Joy podcast from LGBTQIA+ community radio station Joy 94.9. For more information and tons of other podcasts, head to joy.org.au.
Sponsor.
Welcome back to Sunday Arts Magazine on Joy 94.9. I'm David Hunt. I am chatting now to probably one of the, I was going to say luckiest. No, she's not lucky. She is obviously a true artist who has achieved something extraordinary. We'll get to that a little bit later. But first off, let me introduce you to Tina Stefanos. If I got your surname right, is it Stefanos?
It's okay. It's Stefanu, but, you know, that's fine. Yeah.
Tina, hello and welcome.
Thank you so much for having me, David.
Now, we're going to get into your background story, but tell us what has just happened for you.
Well, last week it was announced at PICA in Perth that I am the recipient of the 2020 Schoenberg Art Fellowship, which means I get a big amount of cash, the biggest I've ever received ever in my life, to, you know, continue to prosper as an emerging Australian artist.
Brilliant. Well, we'll get to what you're going to do and what it was all about and why you entered and how you entered. But give us your story. Give us your background story. Who are you?
Yeah, well, how long have you got? I am the child of Greek immigrants, and I am situated and living out in Wurundjeri country in the suburb of Wattle Glen in Victoria. And I have been making art for a while, particularly as a vocalist. So I was in bands, I was in experimental music groups. So I am also in experimental music groups, and I lived in Berlin, Istanbul, you know, tried all sorts of different types of making and made with lots of different people across cultures. And then I got about the age of 29, I was in my Istanbul apartment, and it occurred to me that one adventure I hadn't been on is the adventure of the institution. I had not made in a university context or gone to university. And that's a huge deal for me because my family, my immediate family, some of them hadn't even finished high school. So I hadn't really sat at that table. And so I entered tertiary education and went off and lived in Sydney for 3 years doing my undergrad. Went to VCA to do my honours, finished that, got into Hatched, which is what we're talking about now. But yeah, it's been a long history of so many different life stories and life paths, and not very messy, no neat beats here, very messy.
But hold on, isn't that the life of an artist though? You're like, it's never smooth sailing. You're like, how boring would that be if it was smooth sailing? You're like, tragedy of it all. You have to have tragedies.
Absolutely. I mean, I suppose there might be some people who have experienced a neater, sequence of events to get to things, maybe, I don't know, more economic support or who knows what, you know, type of class you come from. So there are, I think, maybe some people that do get more privileges in being able to claim a stake as being an artist.
Yeah.
And then some who might a bit more, you know, fighting tooth and nail.
Yeah. Well, the people that we speak to on Sunday Arts, most of them, their parents won't let them go off and follow their dream, and they end up doing science or something else. And then they come back doing what they really want to do and are thriving in it and love it. So, but always lovely, interesting, different stories. Mm. Now, tell us about this institution in Perth, and how did you link yourself and get involved?
Well, it was through the Victorian College of the Arts. So, you know, they had this huge graduation show at the end of the year. So there's like hundreds of graduates exhibiting their work. And somehow they chose me to be part of, you have to apply to be part of the Hatched exhibition. I think it's happened for like
11 years.
So So this year I got in via that recommendation. And then I think it's out of like 56 applicants, they choose 24. And out of those 24 applicants, or like out of those works, they choose one artist who gets this huge prize. Now, it would be lovely if all of those artists could be given something, because, you know, it is quite overwhelming, that one prize.
So what did you actually have to tell them what you were going to do with it? Or do they just give you the money and then you then decide what you want to do?
Yeah, so it's not like a grant or something like that. I think they just give you the cash. I was hoping I'd get a really big check that I could carry around. But yeah, they give you the cash, and then you make it count for your life.
So it's that substantial. Well, to be quite honest, it's common knowledge that how much? It's $50,000, which is a lot of money, isn't it? Yeah.
It's so big, and, you know, it's something that is so life-affirming and life-changing, particularly in these precarious times as an emerging artist. Like, I can't stress that more.
So what's your thought patterns? Did you have anything in mind, or did you not even think that you, in your wildest dreams, that you would be the chosen child?
Well, I tried to push it out of my mind, because I do think there are some interesting complexities with anything that's competitive. So I didn't already, you know, we're in lockdown in Victoria, you know, there's lost work, there's so many challenges. So I didn't want to get my hopes up that something like this would come into my life and kind of help with those challenges. So, yeah, I didn't think about it until I received the call from the curator at 10 o'clock at night, saying, because it's Perth time is different, and I was about to go to bed, and I see a missed call from Perth. I'm thinking, oh my God, there's something wrong with the installation. So I call them back and I get the news, and I was just absolutely beside myself. I was crying. My parents were crying. My grandmother was crying. It's a whole community. An artist is not just an individual. They are a multiplicity affecting so many lives around them. You know, it takes a village to raise an artist. So my village was in hysterics.
Tell us. And being a Greek village as well, more so.
Yes.
Tell us, what was the installation that you submitted in Perth?
So there were two large video works on freestanding screens. One of the video works, and it's also a sound work, is a video of three elderly horses that I've been working with for around 3 years. And I decided that wouldn't it be wonderful if they became the main sonic component of the work. So I dressed them up in very decorative ornamental costumes made of bells and keys. So when they moved, they made sound. And then I paired that with another work, which features three beautiful young naked double bassists who are spinning, trying to play a medieval vocal chant by the grandmother of Western art music, Hildegard von Bingen. So they're trying to play that while they're spinning. And you put those two works together, and all these layers of meaning and poetics and sounds start to erupt. That is, whilst it's from my inner world, it also has its own agency, has its own world.
Okay. Yeah. Oh, sounds amazing. Well, as a matter of fact, earlier in the show today, we were talking to Katrina from ACME. It sounds like a perfect vehicle for you. Have you ever thought of having something, you know, like on display at ACME? Well, you know, like, they should be jumping at this, wouldn't they? Wouldn't they want what you just won, this amazing prize? Wouldn't they want it?
Oh, look, it would be a dream and an absolute privilege to show at ACME, and I really do hope that I get that chance one day. I mean, how these things work, how people get into these institutions as an emerging artist, there's some questions there. So I would love to, I would love to work with them. It'd be amazing.
So here you are, you're sitting on this pile of money. Have you drawn it out in $10 notes and sitting on it, or like sleeping on it every night when you go to bed? Have you had time to think, or haven't you even, you're thinking, no, I can't do it right now, I've got to put it out of my mind?
Yeah, well, in my mind, I'm hugging the cash with a big cuddle. And I have thought about it, of course, you know, when that, like, what could I do? Sometimes you do those kind of, when you go for a walk, you think, what would happen if I won $1 million? What would happen if I won this amount of money? What would I do?
Yeah.
And, you know, first and foremost, it is about taking care of material conditions that I haven't been able to do for, like, a really long time. Teeth, leak in the caravan roof. There's just so many things like that. But also it's quite a stress trying to come up with the funds to create more work. Like, you go through the rigmarole of writing grants, of trying to keep up to date with what's due and when, and writing all these things, which I will obviously continue to do in my career. But at this point, to have those funds to continue to make work is amazing. So I've got a few projects lined up where that will be so helpful. And I'm also trying to establish the first few building blocks of a transdisciplinary artist-run residency that will be both physical and online for precarious artists to come and stay and make work with community out here in Wattle Glen. So that's, you know, that's my dream, to start getting those things happening.
Yeah. Can you see that doors will be open for you now that you're, you know, got this grant?
I hope so. I really do. I hope that it means that it's, you know, there's a bit more ease in.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community radio station, Joy 94.9. For more podcasts or to support Joy by becoming a member, donating or subscribing, head to joy.org.au.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.